Well, good morning, family.
Good morning.
I am not Richard Magoo, who is our normal preacher, if you can't tell. This is a Razorback shirt, not an Alabama shirt. Woo Pig Suey, not Roll Tide. All right. But it is a pleasure and an honor to be up here with you this morning to try to teach a lesson this morning on the Hebrews chapter 11. Bear with me. This is not my normal profession. I will do my best. I do enjoy it. I do enjoy getting in front of people and speaking. So hopefully we will learn something together as we go along. I know whenever I got the call Friday night at about 9:30 that I would be doing this, it was like, okay, cram. It's kind of like cramming for a final in college, but hopefully we'll be able to get something through this. Read along with me. It is quite a long passage, so we'll spend a little bit of time this morning reading Hebrews, the majority of Hebrews chapter 11 as we go along. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen, for the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, I want you to make sure that you're paying attention to that part. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that comes by faith. Continuing on. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that had its foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age that she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and in him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All these died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they were seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he was prepared for them a city. Now, I will skip through this, but as you continue to read through the rest of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Moses, by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea. You notice that's a theme. By faith, by faith, by faith. And as we get down here to the end, verses 39 and 40, which Phil read for us this morning. Thank you, Phil. All of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. What is the definition of faith? Now, I'm not a PowerPoint wizard, so all my little points pop up at the same time. That was not how I intended this thing to go. But you get to read the cliff notes as we go along. What is the definition of faith? Merriam-Webster defines faith in the following ways. It is an allegiance to duty or to a person. It means like loyalty, fidelity to one's promises, sincerity of intentions, acting in good faith. It is a belief in trust in and loyalty to God, belief in the traditional doctrines of a religion, firm belief in something for which there is no proof, complete trust. something that is believed, especially with strong conviction, a system of religious beliefs, i.e. the Christian faith. What is the biblical definition of faith? Well, the writer of Hebrews gave us that in verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So faith is full belief in something that you cannot see, you cannot touch, you cannot smell, you cannot taste, but yet you've choose to believe in it fully. Examples of faith. Of course, we just read the first half of chapter 11, but the writer of Hebrews lists quite an impressive array of characters. He didn't just give examples of faith, but he gave examples of biblical characters that we all know. Quite an impressive array of characters from the Old Testament throughout this chapter. So we see Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, etc., etc., etc. So it's quite the list of biblical heroes, right? Just think. Noah built the ark. Without Noah and the ark that God told him to build, Noah and his family being saved, none of us would be here. Abraham. Do we really need to go into Abraham? Abraham's the father of all. Right? Abel, son of David, gave an offering pleasing to God. And yet his brother, who was jealous of him because he did not get accepted by God, came along and killed him. Not with a gun, not with a knife, but with a rock. Killed him because he was jealous. It's quite a list of examples here that the writer of Hebrews is giving to us, saying that all of these people are there for us, that they have all shown what it means to be faithful. Attributes of faith. Examples of people from the Old Testament who lived by faith also showed attributes that came as a byproduct of faith. So if we look here in verse 33, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. The world wasn't worthy of these people. You think about it, when you look through this list, I think of Daniel in the lion's den. By faith, he was saved. Quenched the power of fire. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they were thrown in that fiery furnace that not only should they have just destroyed them, burned them up to ash, but actually killed the men who put them in it. And yet they survived and didn't even smell like smoke when they got out. By faith, they were saved. That's some pretty powerful stuff. The writer of Hebrews knows exactly what he's talking about here. He's saying all these people have incredible faith. The world was not worthy of them. We see examples of faith in the New Testament as well. See, we see Peter. Now, this is an example of faith and also a lack thereof. Number one, we see Peter. When they come through and they see Jesus walking on the water, and he's afraid. You know, who are you? And Jesus tells him who he is. He says, well, if it's really you, call me out on the water with you. And Jesus says, come. Well, number one, it took a little bit of faith to get out of the boat. Okay? Even if you know that it's Jesus Christ, to get out of the boat, that's going to take a little bit of faith. Right? Otherwise, if I get my big rear end out of the boat, I'm going to go down to the bottom. Right? I'm going to get wet. Jesus is walking on top of the water, y'all. And Peter is called to get out of the boat. And he does. And he walks on water. He actually walks on water for a little while. And then he begins to sink. And he reaches out to Christ and he says, save me. And Christ says, oh, ye of little faith. Okay, he had a little faith, but it wasn't a lot. Then we see a woman who is healed simply by the touching of Jesus' robes. And we should all know this story. From Mark chapter 5, we see the woman, you know, they're in a packed crowd of people. Jesus has actually been called to heal another man's, or another little girl. And they're bumping off of each other and everything's going on. And this woman, in her mind, is sitting here saying, all I have to do is touch his garment and I'll be healed. This is the woman who's been bleeding and had the affliction for years and years and years. She knows that all she has to do is get close enough to touch his garment and she is going to be healed. She does it. As soon as she touches his garment, her faith healed her through the power of Jesus Christ. He immediately finds out. He knows the power goes out through him. He turns and he finds her. Who did it? And his apostles are like, dude, come on, let's go. You've been getting bumped into this whole morning, this whole trip. He goes, no. I want to find this person. And he finds her and he says, daughter, your faith has saved you or healed you. It's incredible. We also see Matthew chapter 15, the Canaanite woman. If you saw the story of the Canaanite woman, let's actually turn to Matthew chapter 15 real quick. I want to read this story. This morning in our class, we talked about the difference between Jews and Gentiles and the faith and righteousness of both. Matthew chapter 15. Verses 21 through 28. The faith of a Canaanite woman. It says, and Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she is crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. So a woman, this Canaanite woman, a woman who was not a Jew, she was not even close to being in the realms of the Jewish people. So like a Samaritan woman, you know, we've also seen Jesus talk to the Samaritan women, but they're treated like dogs. That was why Jesus made this mention. But she had such great faith in Christ and the power of Jesus that her daughter was healed. He made the exception. The other New Testament examples are the apostles. All except for Judas and John were eventually martyred because they were proclaiming Christ and their faith in him. Every last one of them. Did you know that? Did you know that all of the apostles, save for Judas and for John, had a violent martyrdom? Peter, even so much as he was crucified upside down, or so the story says, so that he would not be crucified in the same manner of Christ, because he said he was not worthy to die in the same way. Of course, we know that Judas betrayed Jesus and hung himself. We also know that, or it's said that John is said to have died as an old man in Ephesus. So he got to grow up, and he, of course, he got, what's the word I'm looking for? Not marooned, but exiled to a little island there for a while, in which is where he wrote the Revelation. Then it was also said that he was able to actually move back to Ephesus, where he was able to kind of live out an older life and die there. Faith is powerful. Faith gives us the power to literally do anything. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. If we have enough faith, we can do all things. Matthew 17:20 says, "For truly I say to you, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." Can you imagine? Telling a mountain, "Okay, mountain, I don't like you there. I want you to be over there. Move." And it do it. That's an incredible thought. Now, this is the words of Jesus. I believe what he's saying here. I believe that even if we have a faith the size of a mustard seed. Has anybody seen, anybody know how big a mustard seed is? You know, it's about the size of a walnut. Is that about right? No, it's not. If you look right there, that's a grain of mustard seed. Now, I don't know how big that dude's hand is. I got a pretty good sized hand. That's a little bitty pinhead size grain of seed. That's tiny. It's minuscule. Faith like a mustard seed. The mustard seed is minuscule. Even if we have just a little faith, we can move mountains. We can do anything through the faith in Jesus Christ. We are justified by our faith. Paul states in Romans 5:1-2, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace by which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope and glory of God." But faith alone isn't enough. As we see in the book of James, in James 2:14-26, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' you do not give them the things by which are needed for the body. What does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith with my works.' Or by my works, 'You believe that there is one God,' you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son for the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God.' You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messenger and sent them out another way? For as the body without a spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. But faith is the foundation." We are justified by our faith, as Paul says here in Romans. But it's not the only thing that justifies us. We have to have an active faith. We can't be armchair quarterbacks and saying, "Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ and I can do anything through him, but I'm going to sit right here." That's not how it works. What should we do with this faith? Well, number one, we should believe. We should believe it. When we hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we should believe it and we should begin to have our faith. We should, number two, we should repent of our old ways. We should confess that Christ is Lord. We should act on that newfound faith, being baptized into Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And then, as we learned about in class this morning, from Romans chapter 9 and chapter 10, we are all preachers of the gospel of Christ, not just somebody who stands up here behind the pulpit and delivers the message to you, but we are all preachers day in and day out. We should share it. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Matthew 5:14. It is our duty to show our faith. Do not be afraid to share the gospel of Christ. That's our lesson this morning. Try to keep it short and sweet. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can do anything. Hi, baby. You can move mountains. You can do anything. If you have faith smaller than a mustard seed this morning, if you don't have any faith at all, if you're struggling with your faith, if you're an armchair faith quarterback, if you have any need whatsoever this morning, we have, well, we don't have any elders here this morning, but we do have a couple deacons. We'll be happy to pray with you and pray for you. If you have any need whatsoever, come forward as we stand and sing.